starts out, there was a young man about 15 years old. And he consciously, at that age, set out on his life's journey, which was to change the world. He worked and worked and worked to try to change the world. He worked hard, and then when he couldn't work anymore, he rested and then went at it again, harder than he did even before, intent on the mission to go ahead and change the world. After about 10 years had passed, and what seemed like a lot of wasted effort, the young man decided that maybe his mission to change the world was a little grandiose. So he regrouped and decided to set his heart, mind, soul, and strength, everything he had, into a new mission, a little bit smaller, to change his country. So he worked and worked and worked everything he had to change his country. He regained a little bit of strength, went at it again, harder than before, focused and dedicated on his mission to change the country. After about 10 years had passed and what seemed like a lot of wasted effort, the young man decided that maybe his mission to change the country was still just a little bit too big. So he decided to set his heart, mind, soul, and strength, everything he had, on a new mission, just a little bit smaller. And that was to change his state. So his focus is narrowing down a little bit. He continued to just work and drive. He was a driven guy. I mean, he started out to change the world at the age of 15. You know he was driven. So he worked hard, even harder still, intent to change his state. He even campaigned and voted for his favorite politicians amongst all kinds of other service that he did for his state. But after 10 years of past time and what seemed like a lot of wasted effort, the now middle-aged 45-year-old man decided that maybe his mission to change his state was still just a little bit out of reach. So he decided to set his heart, mind, soul, and strength, everything he had, on a new mission, a little bit smaller. He wanted to change his county. So he worked and worked as hard as he could to change his county. He went, got involved with county politics and even got a position on the county seat. But after 10 years of intense effort and the drive he could muster, as a middle-aged man of 55, he decided that maybe his mission to change his county was still beyond his grasp. So he decided to set his heart, mind, soul, and strength on a new mission to change his town or city. So he worked to change his town and city, dedicated and focused. After 10 years had passed, he went what seemed like a lot of more wasted effort and just time spent, he decided to try to change his community. Worked hard as he could, 10 years more, 75 years old. Felt like his energy was starting to run down. His mission to change his community seemed unobtainable. He took a little bit of stock of his life, saw that there was some problems in his family, so he set out on a new mission. My mission is to change my family. He worked as hard as he possibly could. You know, helped his family out whatever way he could. After about 10 years had passed, at 85 years old, and what seemed like a lot of wasted effort, with just minor, you know, victories here and there. Exasperated, dejected, depressed, and almost hopeless, as a last resort, he decided that for the next 10 years, he was going to commit his life to really seeking God's guidance and pondering the seeming futility of his first 85 years of life, to see if he could find some meaning, some value in life. So he began to search the scriptures and spend some time seeking and talking with God, listening to God every day for the next 10 years. And do you know what he discovered at 95 years of age? Do you? He realized that if he had only had started seeking God's guidance when he was 15 years old, like he did when he was 85 years old, and worked on surrendering himself to God, and allowing God to transform himself to be more like Christ and renew his mind, like it talks about in 1 Corinthians 3:18 and Romans 12:2, then God could have used him even more than he has to transform his family. And God used he and his family to change their community. And God could have used him and his family and their community to change their city. And God could have used him and his family, their community, and their city to change their county. And he could have used he, his family, his community, the city, the county to change their state. And he could have used him, his family, the community, their city, their county, their state to change their country. That's right. And then guess what would have happened? That's right. God would have used him, his family, their community, their city, their county, their state, and their nation to change the world. So from this story, and infinitely more importantly from the pages of Scripture, how do we change the world? By allowing God to change us. Absolutely. From start to finish, we change the world by allowing God to, by allowing ourselves to be changed by God. Individually, completely surrendering our lives to Christ, seeking him and his kingdom with all of our hearts every single day. Seeking his word, seeking him in prayer, listening to him as well. Loving him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Allowing him to transform us into his image and likeness and obediently following his commands and his leadership in every single area of our lives. That's real easy to give certain areas of our lives over to Christ, and it's real hard for us to give certain other areas of our lives over to Christ. And for everybody, those things are different. They're individual. And God wants us to seek him with every area of our lives so that he can transform every area of our lives and use us to change the world. Romans 12:2, just to go through a couple of verses of that talk about that transformation. Romans 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we don't actively try to allow Christ to transform us and seek Christ with all of our hearts, the world automatically is the default setting. The world will transform us, whether we like it or not. It's just it's a default. We're hardwired. And Christ is the only one who can change that. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and Paul was talking, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So, a question we should ask ourselves on a regular basis is, are we allowing ourselves to be transformed? Are we allowing God to transform us, as Paul was talking about here, every day? It's a lifelong process, but it needs to happen every single day. Spiritual maturity, or becoming, that process of transformation. We talked about in youth group, for a while. Five things that really help to spur on that transformation and that growth in our lives is getting into the Word of God every day, spending time in prayer every day, attending church regularly. Because again, by doing that, we're getting into God's word. We're also fellowshipping with other believers. And just like iron sharpens iron, sharpening each other, encouraging each other. The fourth thing is witnessing to others, taking opportunities every day that we have to share Christ's love with others, not just with our deeds, but also with our words. And the fifth thing is being obedient when we do go to God and his word and see what he says to us and listen to him, and we go to him in prayer, being obedient to what he tells us to do. That is huge. So I'm just going to talk about a few areas of my life where Christ has, I've really seen the hand of God working and transforming my life in the past years, and that process is continuing into the future. Trust me. But one area of my life that God is transforming, will continue to transform into His likeness over the years, is love. And that's our first core value, love for God and love for all people. And Matthew 5, 43 to 48, a few verses have really stood out to me over the years. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, this is Christ speaking, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? And are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So God wants us to love everyone, not just people who are easy to love, but the people who are really hard to love, even the people who seem to be working completely against us, persecuting us. We're to love them and pray for them. That's amazing.